Good morning.
Good morning.
The first lesson this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. We will read Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6, responsively by verse. The Lord, the God of gods, has spoken. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God reveals himself in glory.
Our God will come and will not keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him a raging storm.
He calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of his people.
Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice.
Let the heavens declare the righteousness of his cause, for God himself is judge.
The second lesson this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Like the children, or all of us actually, to be listening for the color that's mentioned in the gospel text for today. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And as he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them, there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, while they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to have the children join me for a few moments. Good morning. Anybody else coming down? Well, that's fine. Did you hear a color when I read? What color did you hear?
White.
White. You are listening. You are paying attention. Good for you. What color are our hangings on the altar? They're white too, aren't they? And my stole is white. Do you remember the Sunday when I had you all put on the different color stoles? And I told you that each color meant something? Well, white is a color that symbolizes the presence of God. White is the color that we hear today as we sing. Carolyn, are you listening? You know what we were saying?
No clue.
She wasn't paying attention, was she? Did you hear the color?
White.
Well, she heard that. But she wasn't paying attention to us as we were talking. In the gospel that I just read, Peter wasn't listening either. He was just so flummoxed by all that was going on that he didn't know what to say. And then God says to Peter, "Listen." God is calling Peter and all of us to listen to the words of Jesus. And we hear those in the Bible. We hear them in a sermon. We hear them in the songs that we sing. But we have to listen for the words of Jesus. And in all fairness, as you all might have guessed, I kind of coached Carolyn on what to say. But it proves the point. We have to listen for the words of Jesus. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, help us to listen.
Help us to listen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Always good to see you. I told Dr. Ben I was going to tell a doctor joke, and I'm sure he's heard all the doctor jokes like I've heard all the preacher jokes. And maybe you've heard it too. Jack was finishing his appointment with the doctor, and the doctor said, "Anything else, Jack, I can help you with?" Jack says, "As a matter of fact, there is. I think my wife may have a hearing problem. She doesn't listen to me half the time. Or she's not paying attention to me. And I wonder what's going on." So the doc suggested, "When you get home, stand behind her like about 15 feet and say something and see if she responds. And if she doesn't, then move a little closer. And if she doesn't, move a little closer." And so that's just what Jack did. And before long, he's standing right behind her. And he asks again, the fourth time, "What's for supper?" She turns around and says for him, "I told you 4 times we're having chicken." Sometimes the problem is not listening, but not hearing. We can't really listen to understand, to internalize, if we're not hearing. But even if we're hearing, we may not be listening. I looked these two words up in the dictionary. And to hear is to perceive with the ear the sound made by someone. Maybe Carolyn heard us. To listen is to give one's attention to the sound that's being made. She may have been hearing, but she wasn't listening. On Transfiguration Sunday, there are many ways the preacher could go, and I've gone all of them in my years. But this year, as I was preparing, I heard a word to which I'd never paid attention before. The word that comes from God was, "This is my son, listen to him." Now, in the Old Testament, you all know there are all kinds of commands that God gives us. What are the most famous ones, the ones that everybody knows?
Ten Commandments.
But there are lots of others, dealing with food and clothing and animals, lots and lots of others. But in the New Testament, as far as I could find, the voice of the Almighty gives only one command, and the Almighty gives it twice, at Jesus' baptism and at the Transfiguration. And that word is
listen.
Listen. Listen. Now, y'all know that I have a proclivity of dissecting important Greek words. I find it fascinating. Most people find it dry as toast and interesting as a rock. But in this case, it's important. This is one of those times that we need to look at it more closely. The Greek tense of the word that's translated listen is the present imperative. What's that mean? What it means is that word denotes continual action. And so it would be better translated, keep on listening. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day. Not just this morning when we're in church, but when you go home and on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, keep on listening. Listening for the words of Jesus. Where do we find those words? Well, most obviously in the text this morning, Peter's commanded to keep on listening to the words of Jesus. And so are we, to keep on listening. The only command, as far as I could find, from the Almighty in the New Testament. Keep on listening to the words of Jesus. Now, that was easy for Peter, who personally accompanied Jesus on his travels around the Galilean Sea and up in Galilee and down into Jerusalem. But actually, really not so easy for Peter. There are a number of times when Peter wasn't listening. I have my back to you, but you are listening, aren't you? Okay. Where do we hear the words of Jesus? In the scriptures, of course. That's why Bible study is so important. Bible study. Howie Bernstein, one of the guys that attendee of the Tuesday Bible study that I used to lead, said once, there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. We listen to the words of Jesus when we study the Word. And sometimes the Word of Jesus comfort us. And sometimes they challenge us. Challenge us to hear something that we'd rather not hear. If we are always, always comforted by the words of Jesus, that's the easy part. And if we're never challenged by the words of Jesus, I suspect we may be hearing, but we're not listening. If we only hear what we want to hear, I suspect we really aren't listening. Peter had that problem many times. Well, two times that I can think of off the top of my head, that same problem. Just a few verses back from our gospel text, what Peter wanted to hear didn't line up with what Jesus was saying. Jesus was explaining that in Jerusalem, where they were headed, he would undergo great suffering, be rejected by the chief priests and the elders. He would be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Peter may have heard the words, but he wasn't listening. Because that part about undergoing great suffering and being rejected and being killed, that didn't fit his plan. That's not what he signed on for. That's not what he wanted to hear. So he refuses to listen, and he challenges Jesus. Keep on listening to the words of Jesus, whether they comfort you or challenge you. That's what Bible study is all about. Where else do we hear the words of Jesus? Well, in the Sunday sermon, obviously. Just as I believe something actually happens in baptism and in communion, they're not just religious rigmarole that we go through. They mean something. Something happens. And so I believe with all my heart that when a sermon is prepared, preached, delivered in good faith, and received in good faith, there's always a word there for us, for those in the pew and for those in the pulpit. I cannot tell you how many times I have found myself preaching to me. Today may be one of them. Jesus' words can also come from our sisters and brothers. I remember God speaking to me through Susan McKean, member of our parish in Illinois, the director of the food pantry that the church ran. After a particular rant about a woman who clearly abused the good graces of Grace Church in the pantry, and what is wrong with people like that, Susan ever so gently reminded me, "Pastor, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he did not ask for an ID or a W-2 form. He fed them. That's all." That was clearly a word from God to me through Susan. During a Bible study once, someone asked about a particular verse that we were looking at. And I remembered during the week in preparing that study that I had no idea what this verse was trying to tell us about our life today. And I hoped that in the study, No one would ask. No such luck. I confess that I'd struggled with that verse and what it might be saying for our lives today. And it was John Ozimok who said, you know, maybe that's telling us thus, thus, this, and so. And I said, right on, John. I never thought of that. That was God clearly speaking through his servant John, speaking to all of us in that study. One more example. After a grief support meeting, one of the participants who was struggling with a recent death told me that the words spoken by one of the other participants, that other person said that after a year of intense grief and pain, he said, after a year, life is finally beginning to look hopeful and good. Those words spoken by one of the participants, perhaps unknowingly, gave hope to all those who were there laboring through their own grief. That was clearly God speaking to the group. And my friend was listening. God speaks in many ways, but we must be listening. God speaks through the scriptures, through the sacraments, but we must be listening. God speaks to us through sermons and through the words of friends and family. But we must be listening. Once again, the only command from the Almighty in the New Testament that I'm aware of was simply listen. More correctly, keep on listening. Keep on listening all day and every day. And it's difficult to listen, I know. That's why I'm preaching to me as well as you. It's difficult. Too many things get in the way. Peter, good old foot-in-the-mouth Peter, wanted to build booths for Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, and God only wanted him to listen. Let's take a few moments of silence right now, and let us pray that we will listen. Let us pray that God will speak through the many different ways that God speaks, and we will be listening. Let us pray. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen.
Oh,
Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you this day and forever. Amen. Go in peace. You are God's beloved.